This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Thousands of fast food workers have gathered in Chicago, Illinois this week to march on McDonald's, joining with activist groups like the Sierra Club and Patriotic Millionaires in linking the anti-Trump resistance to the Fight for 15 campaign. On Tuesday, an estimated 10,000 people marched from Chicago's Trump Tower to a well-known McDonald's location. On Wednesday morning, workers and their advocates converged outside the McDonald's annual shareholder meeting in Chicago. Joining me to report back on what happened and why people gathered in Chicago is my guest, Kendall Fells. He's the National Organizing Director with the Fight for 15 campaign. Welcome to the program, Kendall.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
So let's talk first about what happened on Tuesday. People marched from Trump Tower. It was called March on McDonald's. Tell us about what happened and why people have even converged in Chicago this week.
Right, absolutely. So the Fight for 15 campaign began November 29th of 2012 with 200 workers in New York City, where people said that the demand of $15 an hour and the right to form a union for fast food workers or low-wage workers as a whole was inconceivable. Now here we are, $15 an hour minimum wage is just as American as apple pie. So yesterday, what we had is fast food workers and community allies and other low-wage workers from Chicago, Milwaukee, Kansas City, Memphis, St. Louis, places all throughout the South and the Midwest portion of the country, mostly showing up and converging in downtown Chicago, probably about 10,000 or so folks marching from Trump Towers and marching on McDonald's. And what Tuesday was really about was a march on McDonald's for $15 in a union. The bottom line of this is McDonald's is the Donald Trump of corporations. Donald Trump steals from his workers. McDonald's steals from his workers. Donald Trump says wages are too high. McDonald's believes wages are too high. Donald Trump sexually harasses women. McDonald's sexually harasses women. McJobs cost us all. And on top of all the workers and community allies that were out there, what made Tuesday very unique is that the resistance groups who have been resisting the policies of Donald Trump, while we've been resisting the policies of McDonald's, we've all come together to say, if we're going to resist the policies of Donald Trump or McDonald's, we have to resist them both together, because these are the two biggest obstacles that are holding the country back and the two biggest obstacles for workers who are trying to get themselves out of poverty and have a wage they can actually live on.
Right. I mean, Donald Trump is essentially the person who billionaires and millionaires, like corporate CEOs, are, you know, like to have in power. They relate to him. He's one of them. You could even see that in the initial Labor Department secretary that he had tried to appoint or nominated, Andrew Puzder, a fast food CEO who, for other reasons, eventually stepped away from the nomination. Do you credit Puzder's failed bid to be Labor Secretary to the work that Fight for 15 is doing?
Absolutely. Look, when Donald Trump became president, one of his first, probably one of his first moves as president was really nominating one of the worst CEOs in the country, the worst of the worst. These are the worst CEOs, and he's the worst of the worst. He wanted to nominate Andy Puzder as the Labor Secretary. And that was a direct attack on the Fight for 15 and everything these workers have built over the last 4 to 5 years. And workers weren't going to take that lying down. Immediately after he was nominated, workers sprung into action. They had national actions spanning, you know, dozens of cities all across the country, about three separate waves where Carl Jr.'s and Hardee's workers were out there talking about what it's like to work under Andy Puzder, about how they get burned on a job and told to put mayo on it, about how their wages are stolen, about how women are sexually harassed. Ultimately these waves of protest ended up culminating with taking over the Hardee's headquarters and in St. Louis. You know, on top of that, they filed about 33 charges and had about 200 workers that went to Capitol Hill to lobby the HELP committee to make sure that they were clear about the record of Andy Puzder. Essentially, they wanted the job they were going to give him, he would be responsible for enforcing the same laws that he's been breaking for years. And the day before or 2 days before he was set to show up to the hearing, he pulled his nomination, which happened to be the day we had about 200 workers on Capitol Hill. Make no mistake about it, this was not about Oprah tapes. This was not about taxes. This was about his workers being out in the streets, voicing what it's like to work under Andy Puzder, the worst of the worst CEOs, what it's like to be sexually harassed inside of these stores, what it's like to have your wages stolen when you're already making poverty wages, and have someone like Andy Puzder co-sign that. On top of that, he even put $10,000 of his own money into stopping a minimum wage increase of a dollar. And Andy Puzder learned the hard way that the fast food workers are not the workers to come picking a fight with, and the Fight for 15 is not the organization to come picking a fight with. These workers are in poverty, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get out of poverty and be a part of a union.
What about Secretary Acosta, the person who ended up becoming Labor Secretary? Was he, is he a marginally better choice than Andy Puzder?
We have a lot of questions for Acosta. It's hard to say. Nobody knows who he is. Andy Puzder was a CEO. We knew his record spoke volumes to who he was. We don't really know who Mr. Acosta is, but one thing for sure and two things for certain, Mr. Acosta will be held accountable to the standards that these workers believe that they deserve to be able to work in the store, continue to have dignity, to not get your wages stolen, and if you're a woman, not be sexually harassed. So these workers in the Fight for 15 will continue to hold whoever the labor secretary is accountable to the standards that they believe are the right standards for American workers.
And let's actually watch a video that was created by one of the groups that were involved in the Chicago Actions, Patriotic Millionaires. They created a satirical video to emphasize the problems that McDonald's workers face and how McDonald's manages to get away with it.
$7.25 an hour, minimum wage, that is what he pays me. I work 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, and I make $15,000. Who could live on $15,000 a year?
See, now Rhonda's problem is that she doesn't understand profit. I keep telling her, if I pay her more, I make less. It's simple McMath. And if the taxpayers need to get involved to help out with the welfare, so be it. I mean, that's what lobbyists are for, right?
Last year, McDonald's profited $5 billion. This one grossed $2 million. This is not a mom-and-pop operation.
This is really just a mom-and-pop-type operation. Just a few burger-loving small business owners trying to make a little extra scratch. And I'm not going to let anyone mess that up. Not anyone. I'm loving it.
And that's a video created by Patriotic Millionaires that tries to highlight some of the issues that McDonald's is facing as workers converged in Chicago this week to confront the giant corporation. Now, Kendall, tell us why Chicago is such an appropriate place, particularly when it comes to confronting McDonald's. McDonald's has a relatively new CEO, Steve Easterbrook, and there is a new headquarters being built in Chicago. Is Chicago essentially the sort of nominal home of this global corporation?
Well, the headquarters to McDonald's is in Oak Brook, right outside of Chicago. They're in the process of building a new headquarters in downtown Chicago, the old Harpo headquarters from Oprah Winfrey. They're building their headquarters there. And so their shareholders meeting was actually Wednesday, the 24th of May. And so workers organized a march of 10,000 plus folks on McDonald's marching from Trump Towers to say, while shareholders are here, it's ridiculous to be able to spend millions of dollars to build a new headquarters. Steve Easterbrook himself has just doubled his salary from $7 million to $15 million. Meanwhile, taxpayers are footing a bill of over $1 billion to support fast food workers who can't afford to support themselves. So they're on public assistance, they're on food stamps, they're living in homeless shelters, and people are fed up. McDonald's is the second largest private employer in the world, and they need to do the right thing because other companies are going to follow behind them. So that's why we were in Chicago Tuesday and Wednesday, is because their shareholder meeting was on the 24th, and workers wanted to make sure that their voices were heard loud and clear, that they're going to get $15 in a union, and McDonald's will be held accountable, just like Donald Trump.
So there were fast food workers, many McDonald's workers among them, but I understand that a lot of other organizations have come together to form this coalition that showed up on this week in Chicago, which I think is quite encouraging to make the links between the anti-Trump resistance and the Fight for 15 campaign. Tell us a little bit about the broader coalition involved and what difference that could make to the struggles of workers who want $15 in a union.
You know, resistance groups like the Women's March, the national and local here in Chicago, Women's March, 350.org, the Movement for Black Lives, COSECHA, I could go on and on, groups who have been a part of the resistance since November 8th, now are, you know, we're all linking arms under one banner, which is McDonald's is the Donald Trump of corporations. Whether you're talking about Donald Trump or you're talking about McDonald's, what you're talking about are two individuals that are standing in the way of raising wages at a time where about 50% of the workers in this country make less than $15 an hour. You're talking about a company and a president here who have sexually harassed women, who are responsible for stealing wages, who are responsible for low wages, and responsible for being irresponsible when it comes to their actual job and when it comes to the American economy. I think that the alliance between the resistance groups, along with all the other groups and the Fight for 15, says one thing: in order to resist the policies of Donald Trump, we're going to have to resist the policies of large-scale companies like McDonald's. All of these policies, whether you're talking about coming from the White House or what is actually said by large-scale corporations, these policies negatively affect workers not only in America but across the globe. And workers here in America and across the globe are now standing up because capitalism is global. These companies have a large footprint, and here in the United States, Donald Trump and McDonald's are spiraling down the economy, and workers are going to make sure that the workers in this country get what they deserve.
And tell us what happened on Wednesday morning. The shareholders meeting was quite early. I understand people gathered. It's been raining in Chicago. Were protesters able to get themselves in view of the shareholders? Were there any advocates for Fight for 15 that managed to get into the shareholders meeting?
The shareholders was Wednesday the 24th at 8 a.m. We got there at about 7, had about 2,000 workers and community that showed up. They marched on the shareholder. The McDonald's had the Oak Brook police there to block all entrances into the shareholder to make sure workers didn't actually attend the shareholders meeting. And they did have about three McDonald's executives that were out there that would not identify themselves. And as workers approached them to calmly ask where they stood on 15 in the union and when they would be delivering on what workers have been out here talking about, they all three took the opportunity to turn their backs and walk. Hmm. And so workers spoke out. And while these execs were still standing out there, but, you know, walking away from the crowd, workers spoke out and made sure that they were clear about what it's like to live off $7.25, not to be able to feed your children, to have to walk 30 to 45 minutes to work and back to work because you can't afford to get a metro pass, you can't afford a car, and what it's like to have your kids eat one day and you eat the other day because you don't have enough money for everybody to actually eat. So I would say that it was a huge success. It's clear that McDonald's understands the power of this movement probably better than anybody else. They already had one of their executives earlier in March talk about how they've lost over 500 million customers since 2012, the year the Fight for 15 began and the first fast food workers went on strike. It's clear what customers are saying. If you want to be a 21st century company, then it starts off with making sure your workers are paid a fair wage and that they're treated with dignity, not that women are sexually harassed, workers are getting their wages stolen, all while Steve Easterbrook doubles his salary from $7 million to $15 million, and they invest another $40 million million or more dollars into a new headquarters in Chicago while their workers are being subsidized by taxpayers.
Now, Kendall, while all of this has been happening in Chicago, while thousands of people converge to confront shareholders, McDonald's has been very busy behind the scenes lobbying against a possible ruling by the National Labor Relations Board on what's called a joint employer issue, where basically McDonald's does not want its the people who own franchises to bargain with workers under the umbrella of a union. How important is this aspect of the fight? Because the Fight for 15 campaign is very much also about fighting for union rights for these workers, right?
Yeah, Fight for 15 campaign is about, has two demands. The workers have said they need two things in order to survive. They need at least $15 an hour, and they need a union so that they can have a voice on the job. Look, as far as the joint employer case is concerned, McDonald's has been lobbying against the joint employer case because they don't want to admit that they're the actual employer of these employees. What McDonald's would like to like people to believe is that the franchise owners are some type of independent operators that can set wages however they want to and have the ability to deal with workers however they see fit. The reality is McDonald's runs all of these stores, whether they're corporate or franchise, with the iron, with a steel, with an iron fist. These franchisees are much more like workers than they are like a CEO. They're being squeezed on every angle. Royalties have to go up to McDonald's no matter what. McDonald's is the one that sets the prices of the meals. McDonald's is the one who decided that they should do all day breakfast in all of the stores. McDonald's is the one who decides what the uniforms look like, where you get your ketchup from, where you get your napkins from. And frankly, McDonald's even has a system inside all of these stores where they can tell how many people are on staff, how many should be on staff, and they actually call the stores and make staffing decisions, etc. So if they are keeping these franchise owners under their thumb, under every aspect, then they need to take responsibility for the low wages, the poverty wages, and the sexual harassment, etc., that's happening inside these stores. What McDonald's wants to do is McDonald's wants to make off with the $5 billion plus in profit every year, but they want the franchisees and the workers to deal with the short end of the stick, and that's why workers are standing up. And frankly, some franchisees have already speaking out about McDonald's behavior. The big reason franchisees don't speak out is if you speak out, McDonald's can literally take your store without explaining any rationale behind it.
And that's so why McDonald's is the real employer, but it's trying to get out of that responsibility.
Absolutely. McDonald's wants all the risk to fall on the franchisees and the workers, and they want all the profit to go in their pocket. There, it is clear that McDonald's is the an employer in every situation of these workers, and they need to do the right thing.
Now, finally, let's also articulate exactly who the demand for $15 an hour and a union is aimed at. Obviously, the fight for a union, to have the right to a union, will depend on the NLRB decision, whether it's going to reverse its rule or not. But in terms of $15 an hour, are you demanding that McDonald's raise its wages, or are you demanding that the federal government raise the minimum wage level to $15 an hour, or both?
We're demanding that, what we're saying is that half of the workers in this country make less than $15 an hour, whether they work in fast food, home care, child care, gas stations, convenience stores. They make less than $15 an hour. It's not a single city where you can live off less than $15 an hour. There are various paths to a union. There are various paths to 15. These workers, the job of the Fight for 15 and the workers involved in that is not to figure out how they get the union or how they get 15. It's to raise the demand for a union in 15. So as they've raised the demand, what you've seen is various ways to get to 15. You've seen companies like Aetna, Facebook, Nationwide Insurance, Amalgamated Bank go to 15 on their own. You've seen the state of New York, you've seen a person like Governor Cuomo, who wasn't supportive of this campaign when it began, you've seen him pull out some antiquated system called the wage board, and then that's how 200,000 fast food workers in New York receive 15. You've seen the state of California do a statewide $15 an hour minimum wage. No matter whether it comes through McDonald's, another employer, the city, the state, the federal government, workers are saying we need $15 an hour, and it's the same thing with the union. There are various ways to win a union, so to speak. The first thing workers know when they're organizing is the way to win a union is to act like you already have a union, and that's what workers are doing. The technicalities, what we're talking about here is the technicality of someone signing a paper and certifying or whatever their union. These workers already have a union. They're standing united to create change, and they're going to continue to push. And the bottom line is they want McDonald's to let their workers be in a union without retaliation from their employer so that they can have a voice in the second largest private employer on the globe.
Wow, that is, yes, you're right, and I'm glad you brought up how big McDonald's is. And this is a global company, of course. Kendall, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website where people can find out about Fight for 15.
Fightfor15.org, and we also on Twitter, search under Fight for 15.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kendall, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
My guest is Kendall Fells, National Organizing Director with Fight for 15. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.